Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. As always, at this time of the day, we basically had to make room for the president to share what we are going to talk about today.
Exactly. If you hear me scourging through pages, I'm sorry, guys. It's just notes. Don't worry.
What happened to your technology? Technology!
No, these are other notes for something else. In that sense, you know, I've better coordinating with your own scribbles, you know.
Very good at multitasking. That's something I'm terrible at.
You know, with your handwritings and hieroglyphics going on here in my page.
That's a lost art these days, you know.
The handwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's apparently humans will lose it by 2040. Children are not being taught how to write anymore.
So it's just typing and typing and typing.
Typing and typing, which has led the Danes to ban devices in their classrooms now.
Yeah, so just, there's something that we should not technologize.
Well, or it gets sort of like wiped out through technology, because of technology.
Okay, but any technological advancement have made wiping out of something that was considered traditional. So, I think there's one guy in New York that was running for mayor. Mamdani.
Yeah.
Who I think went viral because he ate with his hands. So although that one was partly political, a bunch of guys just started making videos. But how can he do that? I'm like, seriously. How can he eat with his hands? Really? That's what you're wondering?
But that's how you eat a hamburger. That's how you eat a bunch of, they call it French fries. We call it chips, potato chips. That's how you eat the potato chips, the slap chips. I mean, you and I, Hamid, we just had some slap chips.
Uh-huh.
Ne? What do we do?
Don't let HD hear that. But,
I think he needs to bless us a lot more, you know. I love, what do they call that thing? I love, unsolicited charity in some cases.
Sponsorship.
No, but I sponsor, no. I'm just saying, unsolicited charity.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsorship makes it dubious.
Well, okay, you're right.
Sponsorship makes it sound very, very awkward, but dubious at the same time. So yeah. Charity is just what
you
it is.
Got me on the awkward part.
Yeah.
Today is speaking of we're not talking about sponsorship. We're not talking about charity. We're just talking about development.
Yeah.
When you look at the national development plans from 1 all through to 6. It's sort of like a part of me that's always trying to make a correlation between that between national development plans and more like plans and goals we set for our individual more like personal achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And we obviously have to put the overall goal in mind, like in this number of months I want to accomplish this goal, but then you lay out a foundation, rather a blueprint of how you are going to execute the series of activity that will lead to the overall accomplishment of the goal.
Yeah.
So, SDG 1 all the way, one all through to six, which was launched yesterday, and it's running until 2030, right?
Did you say SDG or NDP?
NDP, sorry, SDG was the SDG, SDG, that's UN, NDP, yeah.
Yeah.
The NDP 6 was that was launched. Although there's also someone, NDP is like a SDG but on a national level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to speak to each other.
Oh yeah, they have to talk to each other. How are you doing on hunger? How are you doing on poverty? How are you doing on, on energy, aka electrification, which is what we passed, partially glossed through yesterday because of the whole launching, you know, streaming of the NDP6 launch.
Yeah.
So that's what we're basically going to talk about. Most of it is going to be based on the, on the SDG. I swear I'm stuck with SDG on the NDP, on the NDP, NDP document, and that with the speech that the president gave yesterday, where she basically summarized where we have come from, where we are, and where we are headed. Both accomplishments and challenges alike.
Mm. The nice thing is, Hamoud, you're not wrong with the SDG scenario or the interchangeability in terms of your usage of NDP SDG.
SDG.
Because they aim to achieve the same thing.
Yeah.
Or in broad observation aspect, they both have the same goals, ideas, messages. They even try to instill the same particular sort of like, let's do this thing together. Let's break the issues up that we see the issues as one, you know, as one entity sitting in front of us. But they obviously try to break it up into smaller bits, just like what the SDGs does, and present it in terms of, okay, so this is the overall goal, but within that overall goal, they are sort of like more targeted or singular approaches, which you can view as
more like in detail on how we're going to go about it.
Yeah, or what we want to achieve in certain particular things. Now, there's a starting point in the SDG, now I'm also on the
welcome
SDG
to the
thing.
Club.
on the NDB6 document itself, there's like a starting point that shows you how you're going to approach each of the particular issues that have been identified by President Nandi Ndaitwa and also by the National Planning Commission. Because remember, it's presidency and the National Planning Commission that are presenting this together.
Yeah.
And just for our listeners to understand how these particular policy documents or policy goals get formulated is that the NPC they advise the presidency on the, you know, on what to focus on what things to factor into or to try to expand on or try to incorporate in overall, what do they call that thing in dealing with an issue or mitigating another issue that might influence one specific issue. I'm using the word issue because you sometimes don't know if it is a problem, a real particular issue in terms of that it can build up to become something material that you can see and witness and touch, feel in your communities, or whether or not it is something in the future and that you've got to try and avoid reaching that level, which obviously can, in many cases, signal, spell, or identify through characteristics, you know, the situation, how you moved from here, which is currently today, and you achieved that negative scenario, which is the not so envisaged, you know, position that you want to be. Mm-hmm. However, it shows you the opposite of where you want to be, meaning what is the best case scenario, meaning the best positive scenario, the best positive position to get the whole Namibian landscape. So I'm talking from resource management to environmental management to economic sectors and spheres to people and, you know, and their communities to get in the best case scenario, the best positive scenario, which is the opposite of the negative that I just explained, meaning how you're trying to avoid problems, issues, and challenges that might creep up that currently are there or that you just, you know, sort of like wish to sort of like sort them out. And we've touched on a few of them already, Hamoud, which has been infrastructures or infrastructure development, which has also been the aspect of the state of agro-processing, which has also been the minerals beneficiation discussion, which has also been about youth-led initiatives. Yes, we here on the home run, we might have presented them in a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek situation,
mm-hmm.
but we really saw the worst case scenario that we did not anticipate literally come through in each one of those reports that you and I cited. Or that I just cited now, that we already, you know, perused through, had our discussions on.
Yeah, you know, now that you made that point, this whole NDP 16 is taking me back to pretty much every report that we have gone through. Reports are coming out of the Auditor General Office, which I think has been the most recent reports we've gone through.
Mm.
And we've gone through reports coming out of the National Assembly Standing Committees and National Council Standing Committees. In all cases, what all these three reports have in common is that they all figured out that the best way to know what's going on in the ground is to be there and talk to the people that are involved into executing these activities, you know, the people that have that are going hands on. We even went through, especially when it comes to agriculture, because you know, agriculture is also some, you know, is something that was emphasized by the president in a speech, as a priority sector. Yeah, so if you look at agriculture, to some degree, the tannery speaks to agriculture.
Yeah.
The tannery discussion speaks to agriculture because that's where cowhide comes from. And we looked at the National Youth and NIDA projects of trying to uplift the youth, you know, keep them busy by giving them opportunity.
Mm.
And they really did give opportunities, and my God, did they create material for me. I'm trying to avoid
the tongue in cheek, but you know what? Every time when we think about it, one that stuck with me is where obviously
analysis were done, recipients were identified, and then, the government obviously with the help, the government basically have to come together and everyone involved, especially NIDA put the money together to give it to these recipients, you know, because they went through business plans, as you can imagine.
Mm.
Because, this is a program that was tailored towards the youth.
Mm.
So, the youth basically had everything on paper that this is what I want to do only if I had the money. Yeah. There are those that want, we want to start a construction company, we want to build bricks. So they were given money and equipment that enables them to do that. And then some said, one of, actually my favorite in that story is the guys that were saying we want to build aluminium door and window frames, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
And then the same guys. And then things went south.
They were the same guys.
For the bricks?
The bricks and the aluminium.
No, the bricks and the aluminium were separate guys.
Serious?
Yeah, the bricks guys.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
The bricks guys were the ones that, that we congratulated for having,
successfully.
At least endured the storms that come with the challenges of running a business.
Yeah. Or starting a business.
Starting. The aluminium frame guys on the those are the ones that took some of the money, gave to one of them to go and study.
The other one decided to open up a restaurant.
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But they also had an aspect of
brick manufacturing in between.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I remember there was two entities cited in that report.
Oh, man.
But they were just in different locations, meaning the one was in another town and the other was in another town.
There was one that decided to give me some money to go and study. He was given, I think, about $2,000 for registration from the money that on paper was supposed to be for business. And then one decided, can I just have my own direction of starting a restaurant? This whole aluminium thing is not working out for me. And then they decided to buy something to go and sell at a trade fair.
Oh no, to participate in trade fair.
Participate in trade fair. Yeah.
And then they paid for the stall, the stall, what you call it? But they, look, it was a wonderful idea.
NDP6, here we come. But look, with executions like this, I'm going to have a lot of content for my morning show, but not a lot of very good content for my afternoon show. Look, all I'm saying is...
Let's not sound like the aluminium and the aluminium door and window guys. I'm saying one thing and doing something else.
I know, right? Look, I think one thing that, I think actually all the youth must read that report. Because it goes to show how easy it is to make plans than to execute them.
Or how, look, Helmut, we were all, okay, let me not say we were all young, but we all have ideas every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea, having the idea, people really have to, what do they call that thing? Interrogate.
Yeah.
Whether or not the idea in your head is the final destination where you thought you want to be or where you want to be.
Yeah.
Or it's the starting point idea. Do you know why I say that? Do you know why I say that? Because
yeah.
It's very easy to live in dreamland.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to say, oh, you know, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. And then, okay, let me be realistic. This is what my own sibling did with me. And so one day, after finishing my first of my two tertiary qualifications, I jokingly went, I was 27 year old, you know, just making statements there in a broader sibling discussion. And my sister sat me down and she said, listen, if you want to be a millionaire, because I said I want to be a millionaire by a certain point. She said, if you want to be a millionaire, that means you must give a product or a service whereby every single person who has a job in this country or has access to money gives you a dollar. And then I looked at her, you know, when you squint your eyes and you go like, you know, when the bus hits you in the forehead, you know, and you sit there, that sort of like, you know, that light bulb expression where that guy goes like, poof, you know, the mind is just blown with that thinking.
Like, okay.
And I stand there looking at her going like, you know, that is true. Because at that stage, Hamoud, I was but like 2 years into the professional landscape of working, you know, of having a job. But I didn't understand distribution as fully as yet, even though I studied the marketing. But in some cases, you study the thing and you don't see how something works that is right in front of you.
Yeah.
You don't apply the knowledge that you just gained.
So it's a theory versus a practical.
Not just that. It's a discussion also of exposure. You know, being told, hey, listen, this particular headphone set comes from this country. It can't be made in this particular country because there are two different scenarios that exist.
Yeah.
One has the skills to manufacture it. The other one, unfortunately, they just have the money to buy this manufactured thing from a different discussion. So I stand and I go like, you know what? That is difficult. So I enter into the formal job market. Entering it, then you start seeing the inner workings of how the private sector functions. Everything is deadline based. There is no scenarios, for example, like I've heard from the public service guys or the public sector guys. And this is in the, their public service charter, I think. Yeah. It's in their public service charter. Don't worry, guys. I have a good source that explained this to me because he went and looked at the HR rules. You can show up at 10, Helmut, in the public service.
At 10 in the morning?
You can show up at 10.
Office starting time of...
Even though it says you're supposed to be there at 8, you can show up at 10.
And then they'll still be fine.
You'll still be fine.
Okay. Let's change that.
How can you? They've got their own unions. They don't operate in the private sector as we do. Even though they do buy from the private sector a lot. Even though they are the largest salaried workforce that literally upholds the Namibian economy, the consumption economy of Namibia.
Yeah.
Even though they do. However, they have completely different rules in terms of, you know,
how they operate
and approach the realm of professionalism and as well as also how to be considered professional. You step over into the private sector side of things, and the one mantra that has stayed with me ever since I graduated way back in 2000 something. I won't say when, because then people will be doing maths. I won't be too saying when. People will be doing mathematics. So, after that graduation, you start seeing Helmut, what was the main focus of any particular business-oriented qualifications. Private sector businesses do not exist out of nothing. They have to meet goals. They have to meet targets. They have to survive every month between 1 month's financial cycle and another month's financial cycle is a constant survival strategy, constant survival test. And it's something, for example, if you're an MSME, the template in the textbook say 2 years maximum. The template in Namibia that I've discovered says 3 to 5 years maximum.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. 3 to 5 years maximum. So when people have to interrogate the discussion around economic development, economic empowerment, at the heart of this, Helmut, and this is just perusing through, you know, the table of contents of the National Development Plan 6 document itself. Obviously, nowhere will it say, let's put money in your hands. That's just me being wishful. To the most honest explainer that I can give you. That's just being wishful. However, there are descriptives or indicators about how to create value addition, meaning create things that put people in jobs or that provide more food into the sector, thus generating some format of extra wealth for whoever produces what, like agro-processing, under the focus, under, what's this? Under economic growth, which is the first pillar of the NDPs. Agro-processing, which is the thing, one thing that you and I cited as well in those previous standing committee reports. Agro-processing is an important, factor or goal to incorporate.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say who's going to get what sort of, you know, if there's, let's put money in your hands, Helmut, as a small-scale farmer, and you need to ramp up production. So those are the particular things, obviously, that you won't see. It's not about putting money in people's hands. It's rather making things as conducive as possible through positioning of various mechanisms, and the policies must be there and so forth. So yeah, that's the first beginner to start off on.
We have a lot of sources to use today, not just the NDP 6, not just the NDP 6 plan and the president's speech, because pretty much every report that we have been, pretty much every report that we have gone through points to, I think, I don't want to say use the word failure, because they've been success. Yeah. Been success, like those bricklaying guys that basically endured the challenges of starting a business. Because I think for a lot of people that found themselves failing to to figure out what to do with the money, or more like failing to endure the storm, was that I've just pointed out, you're just writing down, this is the plan. This is the plans that I have.
The guys that also had needed a bucky. Those guys, yeah.
This is the plan that we have. So if we have this amount of money, we are going to be sorted because we are going to use that money to execute this plan. But, I think one thing that we fail to, put in mind is, even when you are given that money, challenges are going to pop up left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's from a personal perspective and also from a business perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is where you saw now people, taking money that was given to them that they requested to use for a business, and it's being applied in a lot of different ways. It's sort of like, they were, how can I put this in, fasten a seatbelt, King Julian's language. Running around with, like a footless chicken. Don't ask. Now, the mission was to build door frames and window frames made out of aluminium. First of all, anyone would, you can imagine the benefactors, the one that gave them the money, sort of like, sat with them to try and find out, have you figured out who your source is of this aluminium? Because, unless you have a mine, you're going to need aluminium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone has to refine the aluminium.
Someone have to, unless if you are buying it refined, do you have a reliable source? And the products that you are going to make, do you have a reliable market?
Mm.
Yeah. I think, that's one thing that I have learned from Peugeot. I think that's where we failed miserably, because we went to France and then negotiated a deal to, with a market in mind that was already being fed with the same product by South Africa.
Mm.
And we wonder why it failed.
It's also the scenario, Helmut, for example, the other bricklaying guys. Because obviously that report that you and I covered was National Youth Service or the National Youth Initiatives.
Yeah, that was strictly for the youth.
Yeah, strictly for the youth that came through from the former Ministry of Youth, Sport and, what was the other name? Ministry of Youth, Sport, National Service.
National Service.
In that specific aspect, obviously that report, dear listeners, was based upon initiatives to help with youth job creation and to start and to initiate or somewhat start up youth entrepreneurial exercises or initiatives. At the heart of this was also, remember, another particular organization, supposedly also a youth organization, to help with the screening and the selection and the invitation, sending out the invitation for all these youth initiatives to be explored in and to receive funding for. At the heart of the of that particular scenario was, I've got an example of a real world bricklaying enterprise, Helmut. It started in Marintal. Guess how they achieved their particular success?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the early 2000s was a little bit of a boom scenario.
Economically.
Yeah, economically. Because it seems like there were a lot of, if I can say rather, major projects going about in Namibia. And there was a small bricklaying company. Some people who know about the construction industry would know about this company, but I observed through what a former colleague of mine explained once, how this company actually grew organically. That they moved from Marintal to Windhoek because the demand was so big in this part of the country for the product they were selling, and they were making bricks. Guess how they achieved their particular success, Helmut? They relied on another sector. They are one sector. They are relied on another sector to achieve their survival strategy. They relied on advertising. Now, many of the initiatives that I looked at, that we looked at in that report, did not factor in advertising and marketing services and stuff.
That's one of our weaknesses, I think.
It is.
Yeah. We're not very big on advertising.
And even though, because that former colleague of mine explained how that specific client, of her, how they organically moved up, they realized, obviously, this meant that the communication medium, which was a newspaper, had its own particular readership discussion. But what facilitated that leadership discussion was that there was a lot of Namibians that said, I will only buy this newspaper or watch that particular TV channel if I need something of economic use from it.
Yeah.
In many cases, this was a job here looking for something to sell, room to rent, stuff like that. I won't mention names because many Namibians would know this product. And it literally helped that company. Now, the downside of that is, today at the heart of business administration in the 2025 sector under the Gen Zers, it seems like no one understands the power of marketing. They don't understand the power of marketing and the power of advertising.
So more often when we think of a business idea, we don't factor in marketing.
I mean, even in the entrepreneurship subject that I had in the early 2000s versus the media entrepreneurship subject that I had here in 2018, there was a stark difference in the two subjects, and I critically analyzed these two subjects. The one back then told me, if you develop a business plan, you need a marketing plan, you need a financial plan, you need a something else plan, and there was something else in it, you know, when you start a business.
Yeah.
When you look at the entrepreneurial one, it's like five shades thinner than the one that I did my marketing diploma.
So,
literally five shades thinner, Helmut. How is that possible? So, if people are looking at whether or not something is to work, when you step into economic development, if you're going to be a business owner, there will be, in Afrikaans we say grondpad or stofpad, or, you know, the road will be gravel. You won't start off.
No, you will definitely
not start off on a soft seat, flat, very soft tar road scenario. No, it'll be,
you know,
a bumpy ride.
Unless you're Donald Trump with a father who will borrow, who will give you a small loan of how much?
No, he inherited the business.
Oh.
Donald Trump inherited everything, Helmut.
I thought, he, you know, his father gave him a small loan of, not a big one, just $1 million.
No. He inherited everything. Donald Trump didn't. But you know what? That's someone else's life.
One thing that I've also seen from my personal observation is that every time we often talk about business or doing something that requires public attention, marketing is it's more of an afterthought, and I think we have just redefined marketing, advertising, and we have reduced it to mean I'll just put it on my WhatsApp status, and we have all done that. Okay, fine. You do something that you want to, you know, that you want to reach a larger audience, and then you just share it with different WhatsApp groups to make sure that put this on your status, just for free. Put this on your status so that people can gain awareness. Okay, but here's the thing though. Are you sure the people that are seeing my status are going to be interested in the particular project that in the particular product or service that you are offering? Have you done at least some kind of research to try and find out if the people that are viewing my status, aka which is more often the people that that you have in your contacts, are interested in the product or service that you're selling? One of the people viewing my status are my parents. On the other hand, they'll be looking at a poster of your business, of you selling alcohol. They'll be like, aha, that's a thimbukush for aha, I see I've started drinking alcohol. Those poor guys. But anyway, So one thing that is basically worth putting out there, especially when it comes to startups, and this is the African or more like outside the US startup, not the tech oriented one or not the techie one. This is just a startup as in a literal sense of the word startup. Now, we have gone through a lot of projects. We have gone through a lot of projects as a country, and not just that. We have gone through a lot of projects as a country, and if for the love of God, please, I am begging you, if you just make the time to make, you know, to familiarize yourself with the, you know, with the Namibian Parliament website, and just say, now I have to send those guys an invoice because I just keep marketing them, but they're very terrible at marketing themselves. These guys produce a bunch of reports on what's going on around the country, from agriculture to mining, environmental protection, youth empowerment, and all those things. And you can find this document that basically, it will help you, in my opinion, understand better where we have come from with the national development plans. It's a good thing I got it right this time, not SDG, NDP. To where we are, mostly, mostly before you, before you just go on any video that is talking about national development plans and writing things like, no, I haven't seen any change yet. I don't know, I don't know of anything that have been, I don't know of anything that have been proposed in or implemented in pursuit of this overall, Vision 2030. But there are a lot of projects that are running that are part, overall a part of this, part of the, part of this overall 2030 economic goal. And most of them, you don't have to listen to them from Helmut. You can just go on the, you can just go on the National Assembly website and you find a bunch of, standing committee reports annually. Both, and they're doing this both internally and externally. They have visited Rwanda, Ghana, Zambia, Botswana to basically, they went to Ethiopia and one thing that, that was Ethiopia, right? Yeah. I think that was a standing committee from, natural resources. Yeah. They were in Ethiopia, I think sometimes last year, towards the end of last year. And one thing they were trying to figure out is, how to, they were basically trying to figure out, what agricultural practice is being used by the Ethiopian, government and how it complements the policy of that country. And one thing that they, one thing that, that is contained in the report that they wrote based on that visit is something called, cluster farming, which is being practiced by, on a large scale. At least according to the report, by Ethiopians. Now, what they do is, instead of each and every farmer just acting on their own, the same thing that you see with bars here in Namibia, cluster farming is when you bring farmers in and then put them in groups. Obviously, they have a criteria that they, that they use to try and make sure that there's no internal infighting between these groups over what, what to farm, whether it's crops or animal husbandry or, goats or sheep and stuff. So obviously if you have people, obviously if you are going to come up with that, this is not in the report. This is just from my point of view. I think it would be very reasonable for you to look at the group of farmers that you have and then try to find out which one of them are interested in crop farming and which one of them are interested in animal husbandry. Because the last thing you want to do is combine, have a group that's having, farmers that are interested in animal husbandry and farmers that are interested in crop farming. Because that's going to be, last time I checked, animals eat crops. So that's not going to end well. Cluster farming is something that's being practiced on a large scale in Ethiopia. Now I've never been to Ethiopia. I would not have known that if, two things. One, if Eagle FM did not pay me to know it, and share it with you. And, that's one. Two, my nosiness when it comes to looking up information, information dates back to childhood. That explains why I'm in this line of work. That means websites apart from Spotify, YouTube, and all kinds of websites that we visit on a daily basis, visit the Namibian ones. How much do you know about the Ministry of Mines and Energy? How much do you know about the Ministry of Agriculture? How much do you know about, something that's not coming from, someone told me, something that you just read yourself directly from the website of the Ministry of Mines and Energy, directly from the Ministry of Education's website, directly from the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development. these websites are loaded with information that, you know, that is, that gives more light to all this, vision, vision 2030 thing. I know it's a goal. In her speech yesterday, one thing that the president emphasized was, one of the things that, that the president emphasized was the priority sector. She referred to as a priority sector, and that is agriculture. And her words, all 9 green schemes under the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries, Water and Land Reform, covering a total of 5,600 hectares of irrigable, from irrigation, land remains operational as of this reporting. This was yesterday, obviously. 3,403 hectares are actively under cultivation of the 5,600. That's give or take less than 50%. So in other words, we need to up our socks in that department, out of the 5,600, 3,403 hectares are actively under cultivation, with harvesting currently underway in the, underway, and the aim is obviously a food security. So. Food security is one of them. And yesterday, one of those things that we were supposed to, that we were supposed to dive into detail, we didn't obviously because of the events that were taking place yesterday. One of them is the report that we are looking at right now. That we are using right now, and so to put that more into. Oh, we have a commercial break creeping up on us. 14 minutes past the hour of 5. Home run with Helmte and Dwight.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine. Pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg.
Now that's just not right.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. 16 past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmte and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're here until the hour of 6 now. Where was Ek? One of those goals is I managed to track down one of my reports that I've used that speaks in line with this discussion. Agriculture is obviously a significant part of it, and that's because in the seventh National Assembly, Parliament. Parliamentary Standing Committee on Economics and Public Administrations. They reported on, they compiled a report that's written, on the formalization. Formalization? Just, jog my memory a bit. Alright, the report on the motion titled, in view of helping informal traders that the National Assembly discussed social protection of informal traders. This report actually has an interesting background story, because it was proposed, After the, you know, after, after a summit or conference of the same, of the same title, took place in Geneva, Switzerland in 2015. So, this is also have to do with the, you know, the international, International Labour Organization, where they proposed that all member states, now this was in 2015, that all member states to the International Labour Organization look into formalizing their informal sector. How do you formalize the informal sector in a way that they do things in a way that's more planned than just something that's something to fall back on? So after that, after that, one of the things that was, after that 104th session on the 12th of June 2015, and that was in Geneva, Switzerland, where they discussed the implementation of the International Labour Organization recommendation with regards to the transition from the informal to formal economy as adopted in Geneva, Switzerland. So, the International Labour, Now you know why I keep confusing the SDG, aka Sustainable Development Goals, and NDP, National Development Plans. It's because the two are intertwined in terms of what they would like to achieve, you know, overall. So this, the International Labour Organization, sort of like, reached an agreement during, you know, during a gathering that was held in Switzerland back in 2015. And, they concluded by saying everyone that is party to the International Labour Organization, plans in place to formalize their informal settlement. So we don't want to be, you know, obviously everyone wants to grow. Everyone wants to grow, including the short ones. But, although this is, you know, more economic growth. But everyone wants to grow. So the informal settlement, obviously, informal trading, how do you formalize it? There's one financial institution that I, that I have looked at and basically, gave them credit. Still won't mention them. Otherwise, I will have to send them an invoice. Because, they have a bank account that is, usually they are very strict with opening a bank account. If you want to open a bank account, if you are a business, you need all the documentations that are coming out of BIPA and AMRA and all that for them to open a business account. If you want to open a personal bank account, you must have a payslip. Now, and then obviously they came to the realization that, there are people that are just, starting up and they, the money yet to run through the hassle of formalizing their business because they are still on the ground. Now, if they are showing enthusiasm and basically, a progress in what they do and they really believe that they can build something out of out of the less that they have, have introduced some degree of flexibility in the way that they give the bank accounts that, if you don't have, what is required for you to have a bank account, like, all the business documentations for a formal business or the payslip and everything, if you don't have a job and you're just selling stuff and you want your money to be safe in a bank, you just have to go to the police and, write a declaration. And then you take that declaration to the bank and tell them, well, I don't have a payslip. I don't have all the documentations of a formal business, but I would like to have a bank account. And, well, depending on how good your police declaration is, they're going to give you a bank account. So, that's a very interesting way, if you ask me, of the private sector pitching in to, pitching into the overall, more like, overall, upliftment of society in, economically. So, I looked at that and went like, that's an interesting one. Now, the prayers and issues raised in a motion includes, and this was, this is the Geneva discussion now. The prayers, that's, prayers is just a fancy political and legal way of saying request. They could have just used that. So, the prayers and issues raised in the motion includes the implementation of International Labour Organization recommendation. That's basically the formalization of informal trading. And examine the conditions of street vendors, domestic workers, wood craftsmen, men on the side of the road, a cattle and access to social protection. That's let's have designated selling points so that you don't have the constant run in of the authorities and informal traders, which is very common here, which again this whole report is based on. I know. Alleged harassment by the Namibian police and city police, criminalization of informal traders while working, while working spaces are limited, and costly or not accommodative of the informal sector business and activities. And they basically came up with a bunch of things on how to deal with this all, with all these challenges. Now, this is something that, this is something that is included, in the conclusion of this report, that although there have been, this report is obviously based more on what's taking place in Namibia, not globally. This is basically Namibia doing its part to sort of like meet the requirements that was put up, or more like try to pursue the commitments of formalizing the informal informal trading. That has, that was agreed upon back in 2015 in Geneva, Switzerland. I don't know why people keep hosting events there, but did you know Switzerland is one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive places on the planet? Like, really expensive. Because, well, most, if not everyone around you is loaded. So is this place where when you drive a Vrupa, people will be like, okay, fine, he has a car. Because they have helicopters. You can only show up, with a Vrupa if you are driving between people that only have Golf 2. So it becomes a very nice Vrupa, but if you are driving it in the streets where people have helicopters on their roofs, and then you're just driving another. That's one of those cars, one of those cars that I'm going to buy for my child when he goes to college. Yeah, there are people that have that money. And they are not in the bail hearing. So, we have a lot of goals, basically, to reach, and we're running until 2030. Now, at this point, the very simple question that anyone will be asking themselves is, we are never gonna make it. Well, I think it's just safe to say 50% yes, 50% no. Why am I saying that? Is because after going through the report of the national youth programs that was implemented by the previous Hagis administration, basically the same. Now the implementation of the youth programs was to help with youth empowerment and reduce youth unemployment. But that report, I'm saying every young person must read it, because it went on to show one of those things that as young people we often complain about, the government is not doing this, the government is not doing that. Believe me, that report will show you that they did something. But then the young people now are the recipients, who they were all the recipients young people who were recipient of this money. Now, they got this money. They obviously wrote their proposals. They were vetted and then they were given this money. A lot of them ended up learning the hard way that planning only is not enough. Leaving some degree of flexibility in your planning is enough. While also, actually, it's a, you know, could come a long way. So, you are going to read through a lot of young people that obviously had plans that they submitted to the, that they submitted to NIDA, and other interested parties that were involved into the, you know, into the distribution of the money. A lot of them kept saying that this money arrived late. And my question was, what do you mean late? Now, there was a group somewhere in the Erongo region, I think that was Valvis Bay, where they were saying that they had a potential market, but then they, by the time that the money arrived for them to implement their business, the place where they wanted to situate their market was already stacked up with some established businesses, and the competition was too high for them to start their business there. That's a nice. Let me just say, things went south really fast. So, planning is good, but leaving some flexibility in the planning can come a long way. Because, those ones that came up with I don't want to say excuses because, as you can imagine, these guys went through a bunch of challenges. So I think, we don't give credit enough to people that, that last, 5 years with a business. Forget 5 years, 2 years with a business. Because a lot of us were quickly throwing a towel, really fast. Yeah. If I had money, I think I would owe someone biltong right now because I know someone with a small business and I feel like I don't give her credit enough because after going through this, I'm realizing that, people that had funding failed. I know. So, you have a lot of us that make plans and then just look at those plans on paper and go like, you know what? These plans are going to do it as long as I just have money. Now, for the critics of where we have been and where we are going and all the, we are just looking on the failures, or we have not been successful 100% of the time. I have read the report. We haven't. But we have reached some accomplishments here and there. Now I'm putting a lot of emphasis on the youth program report because, we are the majority. We are the ones that are more angry when it comes to unemployment. And, mostly out of anger, criticize government projects. Yeah. Well, I'm one of those people that literally criticize government projects for a living. One of those reports that gives me a lot of information to base my criticism on is capital projects in Namibia. We decided to build a garment factory in Kurenkuru that's now gathering dust according to the Economic and Public Accounts Committee. But I'm 100% sure it's a national, National Assembly Standing Committee of the previous administration. So, and then we have, we actually have a bunch of projects that, have not reached the potential of the goals we had in mind. Again, it just goes to show how easy it is to make a plan, but executing a plan, let's be honest with ourselves, that's not easy, guys. And then the famous or infamous tannery in Ondangwa. very excellent planning. We are going to build a tannery. We are going to build, we are going to start producing, you know, we are going to start producing leather products, and we are going to create employment. As you can imagine, before, you know, when they were drawing the blueprint of the plan, that's what everyone involved had in mind. And then the infrastructure was set up only to find out that, okay, nothing is happening. But at this point, everyone can just look at themselves and go like, where did we go wrong? And then there was a tit for tat between the local authorities and the, the local authorities pointing all the fingers to NIDA that they wanted, you know, the local authorities wanted to, you know, rent out in a way, the tannery in Ndangwa to one Italian investor that wanted to come in. But it, according to the report, NIDA was more of, late to respond to that request, so that the investor was like, you know what, fine, you can just keep your tannery. But here's the thing, these two facilities, the garment factory in Kurenkuru and the tannery in Ndangwa goes to point out, the same way that we see in the national youth projects that was, it's safe to say, spearheaded by NIDA, that, you have a lot of youth that had plans that they wrote down, and they were certain the only thing they needed was money to get their, to get their business up and running. Got the money, and then challenges started started popping up left, right, and center, and a lot of them did not make it to the second or third year. Again, the Capital Projects report indicates that it's planning is easy, execution is a whole different ballgame. The national, the national youth programs that was tailored specifically for the youth, also basically shows the same thing. Planning, easy. Execution, a whole different ballgame. And, if you ask me, so is the NDP, all the NDPs, so basically all the NDPs from one to the sixth one, there are going to be challenges as they have been with the previous, with the previous NDPs, and some things will be accomplished. Some things will be lessons for the next developmental, programs that we are going to come up with past 2030. I know. Planning. Easy. You know, my favorite part is, I think the 7th National Assembly just did that on purpose so that they can just, give us, the youth, a gacha moment. Because we're the ones that we complain a lot. Like, you know what, this guy is running a ministry, like he's running his house, he's not doing this. We see a lot of things wrong with him. And, case have indicated that sometimes our suspicions are right. Sometimes things are really going wrong. But sometimes it's one of those things that is, one of those things of planning is easy. Implementing, executing the plan is a whole different ballgame. It's going to come with challenges that you must have some degree of endurance for you to go through it. Are we perfect? No. But I'm just glad that we are doing fairly well. I will give us credit. 24 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut Nadwaita. Sorry, Loise. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue on the other side. Home Run on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, back to the president after, you know, to the president speech of yesterday after that long detour of all the economic development oriented activities that we have been running as a country. And some have gone well and some have gone south. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Some have gone fairly well. Some have gone really south. And this is both, on general projects and those ones that are specifically tailored for the youth. And you have a bunch of reports out there that are indicating, especially, the reports, same WhatsApp group, that were coming out of the office of the Auditor General, goes to point out, some of the, accomplishments and shortfalls of, the institutions that are in charge of running our beloved country. Yeah, I still think that the whole, National Youth Program, that one was just done intentionally by the government to give us a, ha, gotcha. You're always saying, I'm not doing anything. I'm not very good at planning. Now let me see you plan. And then we plan. Boy, did it go south. And at this point, if I was the president, I would have gone, Oya Youth, gather around. When you are saying that I'm not doing my job, that's actually the degree of difficulty I'm going through. And by the way, if you're in a suit somewhere in a public office, I'm not making an excuse for you. I'm just pointing out that I think you guys made, came up with a national youth, initiative and started channeling money into those initiatives so that you can just take the podium and say, oh yeah, now, from now moving forward, you shut up. Because planning is one thing and execution is quite another. So, part of what the president addressed was, was obviously, was agriculture, which I think was very important, especially if we are going to, if we are looking at food security, if we are looking at food security and the fighting malnutrition and stuff. But that raises a question that Helmut and Dwight have been asking for a while. Do we have the shortage of food or the shortage of means to afford this food? If you ask me, it's the second one. Priority sector two, according to the president, was sports. This is actually where she made something interesting. As of June 2025, all 14 regions have identified at least one site, with 16 sites confirmed in total to establish sports centers of excellence. Don't ask me. I didn't come up with that. The CAF category stadium. Site selection and assessment for CAF category 2 and 3 stadium with seats capacity of 10,000 and 30,000 respectively. So CAF or CAF. I know. I didn't come up with these abbreviations either. It sounds funny though. CAF category 2 stadiums, has the capacity of 10,000 and CAF category 3, has the capacity of 3,000 for those of us that don't speak sport lingo. CAF category 2 and 3 stadiums with seat capacity of 10,000 and 30,000 respectively was implemented by June 2025. She could have just said last month. Windhoek's CAF category 3 independent stadium is progressing as planned with a multidisciplinary team which submitted a feasibility study in 2025 February or Jesu. It really is NDP6, we're looking forward to 2030. Construction of a CAF Category 2 stadium at Nana Nkurenkuru has commenced. Focus. This is the time is 18 minutes to 6, not 18 minutes to 9. Not 18 minutes to 10. Yeah, that would make more sense. AM. And also, Marindal has been confirmed as a third stadium site. Okay. I'm really hoping we have enough money to maintain all these structures because, well, building one is one thing, maintaining one is also. Don't get me wrong. If I had a construction company and I won the tender, I mean, I'd be going to the bank dancing. And speaking of which, guys, when you get the tender, finish the project. Finish the project. This whole nonsense of buying a Land Cruiser and learning how to speak Afrikaans from one service station to another is what is, you know, actually ruining our economic, you know, our national development plans. You know. And then after that money runs out, we go back to hustling and we go back to buying airtime and then connecting Superway to call to Eagle FM and point out what's wrong with the government. Dude, you had money. What do you do with it? You bought an iPhone with two SIM cards. Nice. I mean, your money, sure. But not one that's given to your company. Oh. Now I see the problem. The problem is, we can't tell the difference between the money that's in our personal account and the money that's in a business account. In other words, the money that is in our personal account, we are not going to use it to develop the business, but the money that's in a business account, we are going to use it to develop our swag. Now, that explains a lot. Well, if that's the direction we are taking, these whole national development plans are going to become more like a national private individual development plans. But before continue, commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko mberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
We have welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and I'm here until the hour of 6. That's in 14 minutes. And relax, Dwight is on the other room sweating. In the other room, my English is evaporating faster than dew in the Namibian, in the Namib Desert. Priority Sector 3, that the president pointed out was my favorite that I just actually decided to focus on. And the National Youth Fund has been capitalized. Jesus, political lingo. You gotta love it. With 257 million Namibian dollars and, capitalized with 257 million Namibian dollars and will be will be accessed through financial institutions such as Development Bank of Namibia, Agribank, Nampos, and Environmental Investment Funds. A guarantee facility from Nasria was secured in May 2025 to improve access to non-collateralized lending. That's a lot of business lingo for young entrepreneurs. So non-collateralized, I'm going to go ahead and assume that, you know, it's the type of money that is given to you without going, without asking you, like commercial banks would go. So in case you default in our debt, you default on our debt, do you have a car that we're going to take or a house that we're going to take, you know, kick you down the street and then sell the whole thing just to make our money back? Because we don't care where you are. We, as long as we have made our money. Man, Capitalism 101. The funds will be operational mid-August 2025. An additional support of 5 million Namibian dollars has been mobilized. Namibia also received 33.4 million Namibian dollars under the Global Accelerator 1 program to support youth entrepreneurship and job creation in biomass sector. So it's a green energy. That's what it's basically spelling. Now, under the Equipment Aid Scheme and the Micro, Small and Medium Enterprise Development Fund, over 200 youth-led businesses were selected. Oh yeah. I know. Over 200 youth were selected countrywide for support during the reporting period. Beneficiaries included 196 medium and small. What's that? MSME. Oh yeah. Don't have time to go up for the to the abbreviations. Who MSME who received. Production equipment and capacity building in by July 2025, drawn from all 14 regions. I like the inclusivity, you know. Drawn from all 14 regions, 28 youth were trained in the gemstone and jewelry processing, 64 in agro processing standard, and 13 in cosmetic production. So, jewelry is being taken over by lab-made diamonds. So I decided to just, skip through that one. And agro-processing, now that is the gold. Why? I remember doing my field attachment and my supervisor saying, well, if you don't know which field, which branch of law to specialize in, I will give you, I'll always want you to remember something. I would recommend law of succession so that you can deal with inheritance because, in her words, people will always die. I know she sounded diabolical, but that's the most honest thing anyone actually ever told me in that line of work. But, look. Agro-processing, I'm comparing it to that because, in agro-processing, people will always be hungry. There's not a single day that, there's not a single day that all 8 billion of us, forget 8 billion, there's not a single day that, all 3 million of us in this country will go fasting. Actually, that's a little bit of a stretch. There is not a single day that all the four people that all the four people that we live that I live in the same house with will go fasting. If anything, well, some of us don't remember last time we went fasting. Okay, first of all, the food is there. Why am I punishing myself? No, well, all these things, for spiritual growth. Yeah, well, I'm gonna stick to praying on this one. Although, when it comes to fasting, actually, there are a lot of things that are beneficial, anatomical wise, without, even if you don't subscribe to religion, anatomically, it's recommended that you give your body from time to time a break from, it's sort of like, keeping your machine there to cool down first before you start running it again. But some of us, we just eat, Baba. We don't care what the body is going through. It's constantly digesting. Constantly digesting. You are not giving it a break to sort of like rest. The kidneys are constantly filtering all kinds of fluids. The liver is, the liver, thanks to Nami Breweries, is even in more trouble. And, actually, Nami Breweries is the least of your worry. Hot stuff. Oh, that's worse. All the youth, obviously, well, drawn from 14 regions, 28 youth were trained in gemstone and jewelry processing. Jewelry, if we're going to make jewelry, can we just, for the love of God, find a name that doesn't have a num? For the love, we have, I have a feeling at this point, even if we produce the underwear, it will, chances are very high it will be called Nam underwear. And Nam toothpicks, Nam tomato sauce, Nam shoes, Nam of, just why? Just why? Of all the names you can come up with. So, then the president went on to point out that new beneficiaries will continue to be identified. Obviously, there is a vetting process. They are not handing it down like it's just, you know, all-you-can-eat buffet. New beneficiaries will continue to be identified, and the next call for enterprise support programs will be issued in the first week. Okay, now, I'm sending these guys an invoice. The above are golden opportunities that are youth, that the youth must exploit. Now, skills development and apprenticeship. A joint technical committee now between the Ministry of Education and you have finance in there was established to coordinate implementation of youth fund agricultural cooperatives and internship, and we have a lot of internship programs going on. The whole report is 40 pages long, but so I just skip the whole thing and go to my sector, which is the creative sector. Priority sector 5, creative industries, recognition and talent empowerment towards revitalizing the national arts and creative industry, awards, there were awards at some point until someone decided to chop the money, Namibians. Towards revitalizing the National Arts and Creative Industry Awards, the existing National Steering Committee is being revised to incorporate all key stakeholders and to expand its mandate. This process will be concluded towards the end of this year. Get the report, guys. If I have to read everything, I'll be, sound like I'm, just a marketing, I will have to send Her Excellency an invoice because, marketing will give me one, like pronto. Now, so the Creative Infrastructure and the and Equipment Fund draft amendments to the Art Fund Act have been prepared to enable. That's a fund act is the one that Helmut and Dwight, especially Dwight, likes to laugh about because of section 19 that was included and basically derails all the sections above it. So it's being taken care of thanks to. Was that UNESCO that that wanted to work with our National Arts Council? Then UNESCO looked at section 19 of the National Arts Fund Act and was like, yeah, well, if we're gonna give you our money, here's the thing: this section doesn't really give us any legal grounds to hold anyone responsible that chops the money, and maybe in a professional settings, but we know you people in chopping money. The UNESCO didn't say that. They didn't say that. Creative Infrastructure and Equipment Funds, draft equipments to the, draft amendments, sorry. Draft amendments to the Arts Fund Act have been prepared to enable the establishment of a creative industry infrastructure and equipment program. The fund is expected to be launched again, this year. The fund will funds will support music, visual arts studios, equipment will support music and visual arts studios, just say videos, motion picture, Equipments and materials to enhance local creative productive capacity. Now, with all this infrastructure that the government is spending billions of billions of Kenya shillings, maybe millions of dollars, of millions of Namibian dollars, and we just someone is given then someone gets, you know, gets an opportunity to sing, and they start going. I was born inside, but I died outside. That's why they call me carbon dioxide. We're kicking you out of that, you know, production studio. Like, why? You sat and thought and spent your transport money to come to the recording studio to come and sing that nonsense. Anyway, the industry, the industry development and job creation, not into that. So I'm gonna, my break is coming in 2 minutes. So, over, and it's, 2 minutes left to the hour of six. So then the yipping comes to an end. Can I, you know, expropriate some of the few minutes from David. So, overall, the NDP 6 policy document itself is 324. Okay, that's going to take you some time to read. This report is themed, fostering economic growth, inclusiveness, and resilience for sustainable development. Now, I really like the language that we use in the, in some of these documents, because the key word there for me is sustainable. How sustainable is what we are implementing? It's the question I always ask myself every time that I want to buy something. And I've made it, quite a few terrible financial decisions. Who am I kidding? A ton. What that basically goes to show is that whatever it is that you're building, can you maintain it? Do you have a budget for the upkeep? More on that on the other side of the break. Let's pay the bills.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back to Home Run. Let me just play corruption. In the very same way that sustainable development goals, aka SDGs, have sub SDGs, under the 17 SDGs that you have under the UN. So every UN member states basically look at that and base their national development plan somewhat loosely on that. And one smart thing about, at least on paper, believe me, in implementation, the Secretary General Antonio Guterres of the UN, came out last year and also did the same this year and pointed out to just how sluggish all the SDGs are in terms of implementation. Under every sustainable development goal, SDG on the UN level, SDG 1, for example, there are cities of more like, they outlines a blueprint on how member states that subscribe to these, development programs or development goals, what they are going to implement in their respective countries to, an overall blueprint of how to go about combating hunger or, food security, if you want to go that route. So the national development plans also have that. Well, NDP 1, 2, 3, 4, all through to 6, which was implemented yesterday, has a, a blueprint on what the goals are that we would like to achieve in this, in this NDP 6. And now you have... several pillars. You have several pillars. Now, pillar number one, you have pillar number one, economic growth, transformation, and resilience. Goal is one of those goals is to create 30,000 green jobs by 2030. And what is the electrification discussion that it's Tuesday. There's no, it was earlier this week, last week, that, mission 3000 coming out of the African Union to electrify 6 million households across the continent. And then, on a local level, on a Namibian level, we decided, we have to electrify at least, 200,000, between 200,000 to 400,000 households, from now until 2040. I didn't come up with it, so leave me alone. Share of manufactured export products to total export increase of 60%. Now this one I totally agree with. I mean, I can't believe we're boasting about selling salt, but well, it's a product that's needed. Salt, that's the best we can do. I'm not criticizing us. I'm just saying we can do better. So pillar number one is economic growth, transformation, and resilience. Oh no, that's a tricky one. Resilience? Yep. Some of us can easily throw in a towel. Pillar number two is human development and community resilience. Community key, please. Now let's put more emphasis on community here. Because the more countries develop, the more lonely people become. Don't forget that. That's a template we are looking, we are seeing in countries like Japan and South Korea, where loneliness has become an epidemic. And, Elon Musk is taking advantage of that by making some kind of, AI girlfriend. I mean, in a relationship, if you ask me, when you take out quarreling, the relationship becomes boring. Really hope she's not listening. Pillar number three, is environmental stability. Now, this is where you begin to go like, how are we planning on doing this really? Environmental stability, right? On the Ministry of Agriculture report out of the Auditor General's office, pointed out how the Ministry of Agriculture is to some degree going to make life in the long run difficult for the Ministry of Environment and Tourism, because they are still using inorganic fertilizer. It's synthetic, which is not good for the environment. So if something is damaging the environment, that becomes a whole burden of the environment and tourism. So it's nice to see that we have dreams. They're free after all. So pillar number four, effective governance and public service delivery. Public service delivery. Let's focus on that. Achieve 100% performance management system uptake. Offices, ministries, and agencies. That's interesting. So we have four pillars in total. So you have number one, economic growth, transformation, and resilience, human development and community resilience, environmental stability, effective governance, and public service delivery. Effective governance means ACC must work overtime. And we have a bail hearing that's making my life miserable, like I chopped the money when I didn't. 7 minutes past the hour of six before David kills me, I gotta say, Das Vidania. Until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Y'all have a good one.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to...
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye